Hello and welcome to Beauty Inside Out.
I'm Kimberly Snyder and welcome to my Thursday Q&A show where I answer your questions every single week. This is really fun for me because I love connecting with you and hearing what is on your mind and what you would like to know. So let's get to this week's questions. Hey, beauties, welcome back to our Thursday Q&A podcast, where I answer four questions from you guys in the community that you guys are wondering, that you need support on. So I really love hearing what you guys are thinking and being able to respond and support you. And of course, we have our lovely community manager, Caitlin, here with us today, all the way from New York. Hey, Kay.
Hey, Kim. So great to be back on this week's show. As always, we have some really fun questions.
And if you guys hear some thumping around, we have, of course, our third podcast host, Bubby, who is playing with his blocks, and he's actually sitting on the desk right next to me. So Bubby's here, too.
I know everybody loves to hear little Bubs, and so many of you we got to meet a few weeks ago on the tour, so it's been fun collecting the questions. Now, Kim and I can think about your faces and all of you.
Yes. Amazing, Kay. All right, so let's hear the first one, please.
Okay, great. So the first question is from Britt, and she's from Virginia, and her question is about food pairing. I'm confused about rice and lentils, as well as brown rice wraps and hummus. Are these starch and protein combinations okay?
Right. Thank you so much for your question. I'd love to go over this because I know that sometimes with the beauty food pairing, the food combining, we all need different reminders. It's good to just review them periodically. And especially as it relates to specific food. So it becomes like an easy, like second nature way that we're looking at how we pair foods. So to your question, rice and lentils. And I believe you said brown rice wraps and hummus.
Yes.
So in those two specific instances, the common factor is legumes. And one, lentils and hummus, it's chickpeas. And legumes combine as either starch or protein because they actually contain both starch and protein. Mm. So they can go either way. So for instance, when you're having rice and lentils, such as in khichdi, we're treating the lentils as a starch. When you're having brown rice wraps with hummus, then we're also treating them as a starch in that case. You could also do lentils on a salad. And, you know, I wouldn't actually put nuts with lentils. That would be more heavy. But let's say we were doing, let's say if we wanted to do that, chickpeas with like some crushed almonds or something on a salad, right? Mm. Then we could treat it like a protein. Mm. So in these cases, it is a heavier mix because these legumes are definitely heavier, more hearty foods. And it doesn't mean we don't eat them. They definitely have a place in beauty detox. But what we do is, you know, I always encourage sprouting, soaking, fermenting, sprouting. So with the lentils, I definitely get germinated lentils or I soak them overnight. Same thing with the hummus. I usually get sprouted hummus. We have recipes also on KimberlySnyder.com for using the sprouted chickpeas, if I can talk, and for making your own hummus. So that's ways that we can make these combinations easier to digest, but they do work well because again, legumes combine either way.
Perfect. Yeah. We get a lot of food combining questions. I thought that was a good one.
Mm-hmm. So it's good to review.
Yeah. Well, above like that one. Okay. So we'll head right in here to Erin's question. And she's based out of Atlanta, Georgia. And she said, with all your learning with Ayurveda, do you recommend always eating something raw before your first meal?
So, Erin, thank you so much again for your question. In Atlanta, a city that I spent a lot of time in and know fairly well. So, hello all the way in Atlanta. And thank you again for your question. As you guys have seen that are tuned into the community and see that, you know, we have guests like Dr. J, who's my Ayurvedic teacher. Many of you guys know I'm in an Ayurvedic program, and I have a lot of respect for Ayurvedic teachings, which Ayurveda is about 5,000 years old. That being said, I don't adhere to everything across the board in Ayurveda. there's things that I love and I incorporate into Beauty Detox and that, you know, are in alignment with our overall philosophy. And then there's some things that aren't. If you were to follow Ayurveda pretty strictly, then, you know, there's very little raw food except for in the spring. So that's obviously not what we do in Beauty Detox. I think that we do need enzymes. We do need lots of living foods as well as cooked foods. That being said, I'm not, you know, raw foodist. I was at one point in my life and I'm not anymore. So I think the combination is important. I don't think it's either way. I don't adhere to the absolute Ayurvedic approach to eating schedule, which usually they're doing like a payasam, like a sort of cooked porridge in the morning and like a big lunch. You know, it's just different. And like traditionally in Ayurveda, they recommend taking a nap, you know, in the afternoon or going for a walk. Like there's certain things that, you know, in modern society, like the way that we live today, I know if I eat like a really huge lunch, I feel really weighed down, like from a digestive standpoint. It's just not how we live anymore, you know, right. Unless you live in Spain and you take a 2-hour siesta after lunch. So that being said, I've always recommended it's a great practice to start with a salad or raw veggies or at least some soup, right? In the winter, like if it's hard, like you're at a restaurant, like there's certain items are limited, but then you're getting that fiber and ideally you would still get enzymes in your system. Another thing is taking digestive enzymes before your meals. So does it have to be every single meal that you're eating something raw before? No, I mean, that's the ideal. I wrote about that in the Beauty Detox Solution. But as I said, I still think it's important to get something fibrous before meals. This is a natural form of portion control and helping everything digest better. But it could be soup. It could be, cooked veggies. But again, I don't take everything. I don't take these philosophies and say I adhere to them full stop. Otherwise, there would be no Beauty Detox. It would just be, you know, Kimberly, the Ayurvedic practitioner, right?
Right,
so,
right.
I incorporate things that make sense to me. I take them, you know, in Beauty Detox, we don't cook with ghee. We don't, we don't recommend dairy for certain body types. Like there's just a lot of differences. So again, it's not all Ayurveda, but there's parts that we incorporate that make sense to us.
Perfect. Yeah, a lot of people have become curious about Ayurveda since you've begun to talk about it and always questions because it's a huge, huge thing. So with that, beauties, Kimberly is going to take a short break and then she'll be back to answer more of your questions.
Unlike some probiotic formulas, which are isolated friendly species that have been removed from their natural environment, our SBO probiotics are totally natural and work together to help bring your gut flora back into balance. The best way to ensure that you never miss a month and therefore never miss out on less bloating, boosting your energy, and many other benefits, please check out our discounted subscription membership. Sign up for your subscription today at shop.kimberlysnyder.com.
Okay, beauties, we're back from our break and we have two more questions for you guys.
Awesome. So the next question is from Rachel and she's from Walnut Creek in California. And she asks, my hubby has become interested in the glowing green smoothie. Our daughter is less excited about drinking anything green or giving up pizza at school. Do you have any suggestions for families making the shift to a more plant-based diet?
So Rachel, thank you so much for your question. This is a really common one, I think, as we start to become aware of our choices. And then we want to, of course, cook healthy food for our families, get our families to be more on board. We just have to really respect that there's going to be a transition process and everybody's in a different place, especially if your children have been eating a certain way for a while. So I would just check out different recipes. We have tons for you on KimberlySnyder.com, also in the Beauty Detox books that may be more familiar to your children, but be sort of a plant-based upgrade. So for instance, the one I'm thinking of is in the Beauty Detox Power. It's the mac and cheese recipe. And I know many different children that I know have tried it and I've made it for families. And it's a really yummy sort of transition food. So maybe your daughter would be open to saying, oh, well, this tastes good and there isn't actually cheese in it, right? Mm-hmm. You could try, you know, some of the different cheese alternatives out there, like Daiya cheese and the Kite Hill cream cheese, and sort of show her how yummy foods can be without actually using dairy. Smoothie-wise, if she's not open to anything green, you could try making, we have so many different recipes on the website, but, you know, like almond milk-based one with, like, dates, banana, like, almond butter, like, really simple, just to get her used to smoothies, and then you could start adding some green in, see if she's open to that. You know, some of the more like the acai, which is naturally, you know, low and sugar-free, actually, if you get the unsweetened packet. And then you can just try like different varieties. As I said, different recipes. There's so many ways to make things creamy without cheese. There's so many different ways that things can taste good. And I think if you just present it to your daughter and say, oh, you know, you don't make a big deal about it being healthier or plant-based, but just see how she likes it. And then, you know, just start to switch over gradually, you know, just respecting that she's in her own time frame. We don't want to push children too hard. That being said, you know, there's different theories. Like, I know Dr. Joel Fuhrman says, you know, just don't keep junk food at home. Like, he is more of like a, you know, just an approach of just switch it up. And when they're hungry, they have to eat. So they're going to eat the healthier food at home. So you can see what feels right for you and your family. I think it's amazing that your husband is open to the GGS, because I find when, you know, kids see both their parents sort of on board with a certain way of eating, that's really powerful for them to see. And it just may take some time. But I think you guys being an example is also really fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like the glowing green smoothies, it can taste sweet. So maybe it's just eventually getting them to taste it. Like my dad that one time, you know, he actually really liked it. And he's like, and like you said, with the Kite Hill, my boyfriend, he's like really into cream tea. So I brought it over and he's like, this is really good. So
yeah.
I think those are really great suggestions. And we'll link to some of these recipes, Rachel, that Kimberly talked about. So they're easily accessible on today's blog.
Yeah, it is true. You could add extra banana to the GGS. You could put it in a sippy cup that isn't clear, although she'll see it coming up the straw. But there's, you know, it's just less obvious than if it's just sitting there, you know, this big green drink. So you just have to see, try different recipes, like I said, and hopefully, you know, the transition will go along smoothly, but also respecting it in its own time.
Awesome. So the next question is from Jenna, the last question for today. She's from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and adaptogens have become really popular questions. So this one, she says, I recently bought some ashwagandha root in a liquid form, and I think it tastes terrible. What are some ways to take ashwagandha, and what are their benefits?
So Jenna, thank you so much for your question. I agree. Herbs, especially in a liquid form, can be really harsh. I think this is especially true, you know, personally for me, of traditional Chinese medicine. Herbs can also be really difficult to take. But same thing for, you know, Ayurvedic herbs can also, if you put too much in, can really ruin a whole smoothie or a whole drink.
Right.
So that being said, I prefer ashwagandha in a powder form. I take, you know, not a huge amount. I take about, say, like I built up to a half a teaspoon, and I put it in my power protein smoothie. Ideally, if you're doing that and you have your smoothie, you would have some hot tea afterwards, or more hot water with lemon. Your Dr. J will say it's nice to have that heat afterwards with the herb, just to help it really activate. So it's a very powerful herb for strengthening. It's called a bala herb, as far as like promoting bala or strength. That's the Ayurvedic word. And it's a rejuvenative. So it's great for overall vitality. It's great for those of us that are, you know, looking to just support lean muscle tissue in particular and energy. So that's why I like to add it in my power protein smoothie. Some consider it also an aphrodisiac, especially when you combine it with maca. So there's a lot of different benefits, but I would try, Jenna, having the powder, which isn't so potent as the liquid form. You know, sometimes people also take ashwagandha leham, which is basically a jam. It's similar to chaiwanaprash. If you're interested in ashwagandha leham, you could also look online. Let'sallbehealthy.com is my teacher's website, and I believe he has an ashwagandha leham, and that's a jam that you could put on, you know, on bread or just take a scoop of it. And that's another way that people ingest ashwagandha. So there's different ways, but for most of us, like every day, I would say the powder is easier to add in smoothies. You just want to be cognizant. For me, the banana and the other ingredients help to make the ashwagandha powder more palatable, because if you have too much, it really is difficult to ingest.
I haven't tried it yet, so that's good to know.
Yeah. It's earthy for sure.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah, we got a lot of questions about that. And for anybody who doesn't know, Kimberly did a smoothie series about the different adaptogens a while ago. So we can link to that as well. And there's some recipes on there for you guys to try out.
Nice, Kay. Yeah, good reminder.
Yeah, that was a really fun week we did. Okay, so unfortunately, guys, that's going to be the end of our show. But before we let Kim go, as always, she's going to share her inspirational thought of the week.
Okay, guys, here it is. I'm really excited about this one. Big life changes can crack open our hearts and unleash higher levels of growth and love if we open up to it. So when I say big life changes, those can be, you know, as we perceive them, either positive or difficult. It can be, you know, things that we are resistant to at first. It could be a breakup. It could be, you know, for me, you know, a big thing that happened earlier this year was the, you know, the passing of my mother into next, you know, another realm. And it really was a very intense time. But I will say for myself, you know, just going through the whole experience and opening up to it and really opened my heart. And I feel like, you know, that's true for any of these sort of intense experiences. It gives us a new perspective of how important it is just to really be present. And so many things that we think are so serious or such a big deal really aren't. So it can just help us open our hearts and remember that, you know, love and feeling love and compassion every day, no matter what's happening. It helps us see other people's perspectives more, so we can stay in that loving space,
right,
which nourishes us and nourishes everyone around. So big life changes are really an opportunity. We can go the other way. We can kind of close up like a crab and shut down, or we can, you know, just move through and choose to open more. And it's really a choice we have, but it's an amazing, these are amazing opportunities for doing that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That definitely helps me as I've been going through big life changes, and I'm sure as always the audience can, all the beauties can relate. So thank you so much, Kim, and everybody.
That's right, Kay. And you know, Kay, when we talk about when you know, with things that are happening, you can see when you get to the other side, you'll have a wider perspective. You'll feel like you're coming from a place of deeper strength, moving from deeper waters. And it's really powerful, isn't it?
No, it really is. I would have never thought where I would be now versus a year ago. It seems like defeating and all that, but when you change your perspective, so that's why I think these kind of quotes and inspiration are always important, because sometimes we forget. So just kind of knowing everybody goes through it, it's a nice reminder that we're not alone. So definitely appreciate those thoughts for today. And if anybody has a question for Kimberly, as always, please go to kimberlysnitter.com/askKimberly, and that's where I review the questions, and hopefully we'll pick yours for an upcoming show.
Amazing, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much, Kay, for picking the questions and for being with us. And we will see you guys this weekend, hopefully, on the website. Remember, Smoothie Sundays, on social media. Otherwise, we'll be back here Monday. So lots of love and take great care.